In the history of the world, there have been those that have been classified as masterminds. And usually, that particular term involves those that are criminals. And you look back in history, and there's been some that we know immediately, some that we don't know. Carl Gagosian had a PhD. He was a prolific bank robber in the U.S., robbed more than 50 banks over the course of 30 years, but then was finally caught in 2002. The Pink Panthers was a gang that was in Europe, and they had quite a spree for a long period of time, and the group was caught between the years of 2008 to 2012. Bernie Madoff, which hit the news not too awful long ago because of his Ponzi scheme and defrauding U.S. banks and people to the tune of $64 billion, he was caught and is in prison now since 2008. The fictional professor James Moriarty with Sherlock Holmes, not real life, but again, presented as a mastermind, but he is caught and dies in the final book, the final problem. Of course, Sherlock Holmes dies with him. But these all have been considered masterminds. Other words for that are genius, diabolical, masterminds. When we think about Satan, I think some may term him as a mastermind. Consider that with me, if you would. He came into prominence after the law came from God. We see when we go back to Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26 through 28, that God said to man, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over all creeping things upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." We have a command given by God for purpose of man, that he be fruitful and multiply, and also that he is in control of the things here upon this earth, as far as the use of this earth. We see in Genesis 2, 15 through 17, God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die." Also in connection with, but going back to verse 15, man was to tend and keep the garden. When you think about this, because of what is stated in Romans 4, chapter and verse 15 by Paul, he says, "Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no sin, no transgression." When you think about it in connection with Satan, Satan had nothing to work with until there was law. Satan was powerless and he was innate. He was benign until there was law. And then when law was presented, then he, because of his character, began his work. His work, as some would term it, as a mastermind of evil, mastermind of deception. He is subtle, and he uses subtlety, and he uses guile, and we see that where he goes to the woman, to Eve, in temptation of her. And he says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field the Lord God had made, that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you should not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Already there was doubt that was put in mind by the way that he words that. And again, this is from the ESV, and I like that wording there because I can see that taking place. That doubt that was being placed in the mind of Eve at this time. Is this really the best for you? He says then in verses 4 through 5, "You will not surely die," after the woman had given the command that had been given by God to Adam and then, of course, given to her by her husband, Adam. Where God said, "The day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." And he comes back and he says, "No, that's not the case. You'll not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He's telling, of course, there by subtlety and by guile, he's telling Eve, God doesn't want the best for you, but just trust me, I want the best for you. And here is the outcome. And God doesn't want any competition, and you'll be competition to him. You'll be equal with him. He presents himself then as one of that has best interest in mind, our best interest in mind. You look back to 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verse 12 through 15. But what I do, I will also continue to do, Paul says, and it may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. This, I believe, Paul is talking about those that were going around saying they were apostles, but were not apostles. They were false apostles. And not one as appointed by the Lord, but yet they were putting themselves up in that particular place. And he says in verse 13, for such are false apostles. They are deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, if those that serve him and do his bidding, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And so we have this presentation by this mastermind of one that really has just our best interest in mind, and that's the way really that he presents himself to each and every one of us. That is the allurement that he uses in order to get us to follow his devices. It's best for you if you do what I say. He uses base things to allure. He brings death by his lies. Jesus said in John 8, chapter and verse 44, as he was speaking to the Jews, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. I want to leave out the word resources there and just use what the word says. He speaks from his own. He is a liar. He's the father of liars. He is not only a father of liars, he is also brings about death. That is that separation. And Jesus made it clear, and you can see the effects of Satan in the lives of these Jews, especially as it comes down to the end of Jesus' work here upon this earth, whenever he is crucified. Death being the result, they would have no power except it had been given them by the Lord to put him to death. But yet, they were seeking their own, and lies didn't matter. We've had studies before where we looked at the trial that Jesus went through. It was, of course, illegal. We look at the witnesses that were brought forth, and they, of course, were liars. And they had been searched out. And you look at all those things, they were following exactly after what Jesus had told them here in John the 8th chapter and verse 40, you're following after your father. And those that use these things in this world today follow after Satan. They follow after the devil. In 2 Peter 2, verses 18 and 19, talking about the false teachers, talking about those that follow after Satan and his devices, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he is brought into bondage. I want you to consider that as we're speaking about these things, we're not just talking about the false teachers in religion. But we're talking about those that present falsehoods in every aspect of life. It doesn't matter if it's financial. You know, you can cheat just a little bit on this, on your taxes and so forth. It'll turn out a whole lot better for you. You'll have more money in your pocket if you'll just do this. You probably will not get caught. I can just almost guarantee it, someone may say. In science, those that present themselves as all-knowing. And, of course, in doing so, there has to be the opposite to that, which says those that don't believe this are ignorant, and not only just ignorant, but they are stupid in connection with how we got here, what our purpose is, and so forth here upon this earth. We see this even as presented in Scripture. that's taking place in this world today. We see that Satan is crafty, and those that follow after him are crafty also. In 2 Corinthians 11, chapter and verse 3, Paul says this, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Well, that cannot be truth. God's word cannot be truth. Following after him cannot be truth. That is illogical, unreasonable, and stupid. And that's what the world wants to put into our mind. That's what those that are following after Satan want to put in our mind. He's crafty. And he uses those that have positions of so-called authority to work his schemes of being a mastermind. And then he is tireless. You go back to the book of Job, verse 7 of chapter 1, and also the second verse of chapter 2. And the Lord asked Satan, "From where did you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." If nothing else could be said about Satan, as far as any good aspect is concerned, he is tireless in his work. He, in his pursuit, he is diligent and always ever ready to turn people away from the truth and away from their God. And we see that. And he has always been that way, taking every opportunity that he has. He is not to be disregarded. Again, some consider him a mastermind. And he's not to be disregarded. When we go back to Isaiah 5, verse 20 through 23, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. Woe to men mighty in drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked and for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man." We can see that in our world today. We see how people are following after Satan. And again, people in positions of power. We see that taking place. It's in our world today. It's in our politics that exist in this world. It is in the leadership of this world. We see that. And it's not just in churches, but it's in every aspect of life. Think about it for a moment. Think about some of the terms. Hopefully you recognize those terms because they were used in subtlety. And they were used in connection with calling evil good and good evil when discussions arose once again over Roe v. Wade, arose over abortion. And terms such as unrighteous, ungodly, incorrect, devoid of truth, were used not by those that were standing for life, but by those that were used in order to get their point out of putting children to death by abortion. It's interesting that they'll go to that side and present the evil that is there. He's not to be disregarded in that. He will make that which is absolute filth and blasphemy, he will try to make that look as purity and righteousness. And that's what is being spoken of here in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. In Proverbs 17 verse 15, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them are an abomination to the Lord." And that takes place also, not only in religion, but in this life. 1 Kings 21, 13 through 14, "The two men scoundrels came in and sat before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, 'Naboth has blasphemed God and the king.' Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, 'Naboth has been stoned and is dead.'" Remember, Naboth would not sell his vineyard to Ahab. Ahab went running home like a little boy and was crying. And Jezebel said, "Well, what is the problem?" And he said, "Well, Naboth will not sell his vineyard to me." "What's wrong with you?" Jezebel says, "Just put him to death. Cause him to be put to death." He's not to be disregarded. Satan and those that follow after him, not to be disregarded, they will go to any extent in order to get their will, to get what they want. But when we think about Satan, I want to present to you that he's anything but a mastermind. He's not that at all. Matter of fact, his ways are known. We've been talking about those ways. And further on, we see in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, "You do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the things that are of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abides forever." His ways are known. He's not such a mastermind that the deception that he uses is unknown, that it is unique, has never been seen before. As a matter of fact, this shows the weakness of Satan, because this is all that he has. He has nothing else. And the reason being is that he's limited by God to those things. Because we are in this temporal world, and God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to be tempted with. That is 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And so we understand his ways are known. He's not a mastermind in that he's making some presentation of how to sin unknown to us, but it's always known. It's going to be through these three things: lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, and pride of life, and that alone. He has no power, no true power. And those that are his followers are exactly like him. Think about that from 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan." And here, of course, Paul is telling those of Thessalonica, get back to work, get back to being a Christian, get back to being useful in the community, get back to taking care of your family and doing what you're supposed to do. The end of time is not yet. There's some things that has to take place. There's going to be a great falling away, and there will be those that will come after the working of Satan. And here are those that are after the working of Satan. "With all power, signs, and lying wonders." And I will tell you that lying there equates back to the power and to the signs. They're not real. They appear to be great power. They appear to be great intelligence. They appear to be greatness. They appear to be of a mastermind, but they're not. It's all a farce. "And with all unrighteousness and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." And so all of this, we look at Satan, he's not a mastermind, he's not even powerful. Deceptive, yes he is. Cunning, yes he is. Crafty, he is. But yet it is a facade. It's not true power, as we see with our Lord. We also see that he's a coward. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, and verse 11, after the temptations that are put forth by Satan directly to our Lord while he was here upon this earth, and the first one being, if you are the Son of God, playing upon the pride of life, hopefully that he would affect Jesus by, and then turn these stones into bread that you may satisfy then the flesh, and then go to the high pinnacle of the temple and cast yourself off if you are the Son of God and show forth who you are. Lust of the eye. And then the pride of life. Bow down and worship me and I'll give you everything that you already own. What a deceiver. What a deceiver. And Jesus answering in every one of those accounts, it is written. It is written. It is written. And then in verse 11 says, then after the devil finds out that he cannot adversely affect the Lord, because the Lord had no desire for sin, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. I want us to think about that for just a moment, because it's stated this way in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He gives more grace to the humble. He makes it where it's possible for us to withstand the onslaught of Satan. And someone might say, there is no Satan. That's exactly. That is the very thing that Satan rejoices in the most, for those to discount that he even exists, because then his work is complete in them. And then he says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He is a coward if we resist him. He's nothing but a coward. And just as he left Jesus, whenever Jesus resisted him, he will resist us because he's a coward. He's not a mastermind. He's not a mastermind. His ways are known. He has no true power. And he is easily defeated. But people don't recognize that. People wring their hands concerning Satan. Look at what he's doing to me. Look at how he has affected me. Well, that's our own desire and our own will and our own allowance in that situation. The question this morning is, do you want to overcome him? That's really the question. It's not about can you overcome him. That's an absolute. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The question is, do you want to overcome him? Are you satisfied being used? Understand that if you are not a child of God, that you are being used by Satan. If you understand what is right, if you understand what God expects from you, you're being used by Satan. You're not unique. That's where most of the world is, being used by Satan. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is hid or veiled, it is hidden to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And again, it's more than just religion. It's in every aspect of life. It's about what people glory in this life. And in glorying in this life, whether it be politics, science, religion, whatever it is, if it comes from man, you understand you're being used by Satan. Understand that you're just his puppet. You're just his puppet. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, in which you once walked, Paul reminding the Ephesians of where they had been before they become Christian, their condition before they became Christians. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, you're nothing more than a puppet. He is just using you and moving you around the way that he wants. And you're a puppet. And someone says, no, I want to be different. It's so interesting when people make that statement. I want to be different than those that are in church. Well, if you're in Christ, you're the one that's different. If you're not in Christ, you're just like everybody else. Are you satisfied just following the crowd? We look over in Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. People get everything reversed. Remember what we looked at in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Well, that's what this is referring to also here. I want to be different, but being different, if you're following the crowd, if you're following the multitude, if you're following the majority, you're not different. You're exactly like them. And you're being manipulated by Satan himself, by his influences. Or you can be brave. You can be brave enough to stand out. Matthew 7 and verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way who leads to life, and there are few who find it. Standing for the truth is not putting yourself with the masses. It's exactly the opposite. You're putting yourself with the few, the proud, the brave, not proud in the negative way, but proud in the right way, of having God as Father, as having Jesus as our brother, and having being and us being led by the Spirit of God through His Word. That makes you different. It's not like everybody else. But the whole world is saying this. Science says this. Religion says this. Politics say that. That's not different. That's what people follow today. That's what they look to. So the question is, from James 4 and verse 8, will you draw near? Will you draw near to God and He will draw near to you? You see, who is it that makes the step in order to be one of the few? One of the strong, one of the brave. Well, it's you. You have to make sense. God has already done His part. He sent His only begotten Son into this world in order for us to be saved. But then we have to make the step. You have to make the step. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And then this is what you do. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You have to make the step. If you don't make the step, well, then you're being used. You are the puppet. You're just following the crowd. You're like everybody else because you're not brave enough to stand out. You're not brave enough to stand out. Well, what will people think of me if I started following Christ Jesus? Well, they'll think that you are dumb. They'll think that you are stupid. They will think that you are ignorant. They will think that maybe even you are self-righteous because now you try to live a different life. They will think, I promise you, that'll be the thoughts of those that are in the world. That happens so often. But there will be some. There'll be some that by your change and your bravery will say, I know that person. And what they're doing, it must be very important to them. I want to find out more about them. You see, you can be an example to them also. You can be an example to them. Satan, a mastermind? Not even close. Not even close. So transparent in what he does. Yes, he uses subtlety and so forth, but that's transparent also if we really look. If we really perceive with spiritual eyes and a spiritual heart and spiritual understanding. He's not a mastermind. He's just nothing more. Come on up, Sandy. He's just nothing more than what his desires are. And his desires are known. They can be seen. And we don't have to give ourselves over to them in the least. I asked this morning, if you're not a child of God, do you have any bravery to you at all? Let me tell you, if you're following Satan because of what he is, and if you reject God's will, you become exactly what he is. And the bottom line to that, as we saw, was he's a coward. Do you have bravery to be different? Do you have bravery that through faith with a penitent attitude, naming the name of Christ, that you can be baptized for the remission of your sins, become a child of God? You have enough strength, fortitude, guts to do that. Or will you just follow the crowd? Will you be the puppet? Will you do that? Oh, it's so much easier because that's what everybody expects from you. It's so much easier because you don't get pushback. But if you're brave, you'll make that step. You'll step out into the aisle and you will come down the aisle. You'll put your hand in mine and someone will baptize you this morning for the remission of your sins. Those of us that are Christians, are we really Christians? Or are we living a facade? Are we following after many that are in this life that want to appear to be pious and righteous and holy and so forth? And then when we leave this building, we're just like everybody else out in the world. We're his puppet if we do that. We're just following the vast majority of those that appear religious. Are we really involved in working for the Lord and doing his will? Because we realize just how much has been forgiven us and the grace and the mercy that has been bestowed upon us through our God. And we don't want to be puppets. And we don't want to be used. And so what we do then is live the Christian. And if we're not doing that, what a gracious God. Because we can confess our sins and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 9. How wonderful that is. Satan, a mastermind? Not even close. Bravery? Let's see if you have it today. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.